The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Kevin's on the other line this week, and
woo-hoo!
After...
Yay me!
Yes, after a week of recovery, we are back after our WrestleMania weekend. Well, I guess it's more than just a weekend, but our time in New Orleans for WrestleMania.
Extended weekend.
Yes, a very, very nicely extended weekend. For those who were following along online, yes, Kevin and I were in New Orleans along with our lady friends. Shahid was in town. The East Coast Audio from Pro Wrestling Torch was in town, even though our schedules never meshed up. So since we were lazy, recovering, whatever you want to talk, however you want to call it.
Well, considering that we both, well, I had quite an adventure getting back here anyway, and then what was that? Oh, well, I mean, you still had to, did you drive back to Charlotte Tuesday night then?
Yeah, we got in town, parents picked us up, ate, went back here, so,
yeah.
Yeah. No. It's nothing like a whole travel day. That just sucks, but...
Yeah, no, so Tuesday was already out. Yeah. We were both... I was still a little rough in the voice department on Thursday. Because we debated that, and you said that you were even worse than I was. And I was like, well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
fuck it. And then that's what led me to unfortunately force a topic onto this show.
Yeah, I did forget about the hoarse voice stuff. Mine was actually a total loss by Thursday because, you know, at work, you know, everyone just kind of puts their head down, does what they want. And I would think that would help heal the process, but apparently not. It just made it worse. So... when it came time to say a word, it just didn't want to work. So, yeah, so I guess we should explain why we lost our voices. And if you didn't see WrestleMania 30, well, I guess it's – I don't know what to tell you because I don't know, man. Mine started going as soon as – this is our WrestleMania 30 break, everybody. I guess as soon as Austin's music hit, I started yelling because – that had never happened before.
Yeah, no, that was pretty crazy. Because for the most part, I just checked the news, what was it, Sunday morning sometime when everyone was getting ready.
Yeah.
But I didn't check the news after or before that or after that. So the only thing that I had seen was that The Rock was in town.
I think I saw that. I bitched about that, but, real quick, but not expecting him to actually show up, of course.
So, right.
No, that opening segment, that's where, especially when Rock's music hit, just start yelling, and then right after that, Daniel Bryan was out, so we're yelling yes the entire time. You know, just a lot of fanboy fun, and unapologetically, too.
My favorite part was when John Cena was there, and I started chanting both sides.
Yes, that cracked me
up. Of the chant, and you're like, something tells me that you're being disingenuous.
Yeah. I kind of skipped that match after watching WrestleMania again. I don't know, I caught like the end, so I never really saw like the beginning where people were chanting and all that.
Right.
But that did crack... that cracked me up, the Cena chant, well, and then even
And I think it was the other thing that did it. Well, it was something that you pointed out. You're like, you see that guy with the Cena shirt? He's doing the Cena sucks chant.
Yeah, that's what Elise, that's what I was about to say. Elise pointed that out to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's like, hey, that guy down there is wearing Cena stuff, and he's chanting Cena sucks. And I was like, yes, because that's just the thing to do. That's all. It's
yeah.
If that many people thought he sucked that badly, he wouldn't be as popular as he is. He wouldn't sell merchandise the way he did. So, but I think we talked about this. This is going off track a little. I think we talked about this on the Atlanta WrestleMania. The number escapes me. 27, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we did 23, 24, and 27.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, I didn't see the merch flying off the stands like it did in Atlanta. I mean, maybe we got into the Silverdome too soon to see the merch go. But I remember Atlanta just lines at every merch stand, $20 bills being thrown into open boxes. I didn't see any of that this time.
There was definitely some merch being sold, but I think it's a good point that we did get in there much earlier this time around than even when we did in Atlanta. Because I want to say that did we miss that opening pre-show match, I think, or we missed the introductions for it there in Atlanta? Just because CNN Tower was completely ridiculous as far as people trying to eat. And that took us forever. And then we kind of dawdled along there, too.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Did we? I don't remember if we missed anything or not. Not enough.
Yeah, like I said, I don't feel like it was like the whole thing or like a whole match, but I felt like we got in there later than we expected to. But this time around, we did not joke around at all. Whatever the case was, I still feel like I'm like, why the fuck are we elaborating this much on when we got there?
Well, no, because it's leading up to the epic hour walk that it took us to find food and then get to the Silverdome. So.
Oh, yeah, well, and that is the funny thing is we still got there. I still feel like we got there earlier after that whole
walking
that
in
whole
circles.
Shooting match.
We walk in circles and end up at
Google with bad information on which restaurants are where.
What the hell was the name of the place we ended up at? We went there twice.
Daisy Dukes.
Daisy Dukes, that's right.
Yeah, because the second night, when we went there after Raw, was when we saw Jerry Lawler come in with his 20-something.
His that was really funny. We really should have set her up. Basically what happened was we're eating dinner, and Kevin was the only one of us. I think Shahid, he was still there, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because he took off right after Lawler got there.
And basically, Kevin's eyes light up. He goes, "That's Jerry Lawler." We're like, "What? What? Where?" And my girl, being the innocent non-wrestling fan she is, goes, "Oh, is he here with his daughters?" And all of us just got really quiet. Like, no, that's probably his girlfriend or granddaughters. Maybe I don't know if Brian Christopher has kids. I don't know.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah. So. We should have really set her up and just sent her over there and been like, "Oh, hey, Mr. Lawler, it's good to see you out with your daughters," or something. It's so awesome. But that was like the last wrestler sighting for the weekend?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that was, I think you pointed out, this is the first time we stayed like right around the same general area that the, wrestlers or like the event was staying in.
And it was pretty. New Orleans is just really tight, far as the spacing goes. So, like the other places we went, well, Atlanta is a perfect example. What we took a half hour train ride just to get downtown from where we were staying. So, I mean, we have no, I don't know if they were staying near us or not. Like, I mean, there were all kinds of, they were probably staying closer to the arena.
No.
So, I mean.
You remember where we saw Roddy Piper outside that gym?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. They were just down the street. So.
That's right. So I think that was part of it, was just the fact that we were around where they were. Like, they couldn't get away from us. Like, the other places, I feel like Detroit, Orlando, Atlanta, there was all a possibility that you weren't staying near them. And now, it did happen in Detroit that we were close by, because some of the guys were working out at the Bally's that I was going to up there.
Yeah, they say but, the higher agency near Fairlane Mall. Because remember we were stalking... We were stalking wrestlers, and we ran into William Shatner from afar. And then we were like, we're getting our ass kicked out of here. So, yeah. I actually forgot about that part until just now. Yeah, it always seems like there's some sort of adventure. But yeah, Atlanta, you're right. Too far away. Orlando, no clue where they were staying there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still don't really have any clue where we stayed, to be completely honest with you.
Well,
so,
if we ever go back to Orlando, I'm going to make sure I remember, because I'm not staying in that shitty hotel again. The International?
I think it was on International Boulevard,
which was a gigantic mistake as well.
I just remember being down the street from the world's largest play place. Or is it just McDonald's in general?
I thought it was McDonald's in general.
Okay. Oh, no. The largest one in general is some, like, truck stop out in Oklahoma.
Yeah. You know, I think they actually, that McDonald's in Orlando, I think they actually tore it down to build a new one not too soon after we left.
I remember
there was something about that one that made it famous. And then they went ahead and changed it. If that's the right one, then I'm
yeah. Because it looked like a giant box of French fries.
Oh, that's right.
The play place itself looked like a giant box of French fries. It was pretty wild. I mean, they did a really good job with the architecture. With that, the interior was whatever.
Yeah.
It was strange too, because they had their own. They had an actual chef in there. Doing like non McDonald's dishes.
Good.
And like they had a little video of him and how they how everything got made.
All right.
So it was kind of different. Like, I'd be surprised if they tore that one down in particular.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I would have minded if most of that strip just got ripped down.
Oh, yeah, no, that was a terrible place to stay. Yes. I wouldn't, and I guess that's the one thing, is that I'd love, we're already talking about going to New Orleans some other time, since there was, like, no ghost tours,
right.
No swamp tour, there were a couple of restaurants that we still wanted to hit.
Yeah, I looked back on our trip, and it was... We did a lot of drinking. We actually didn't do a lot of drinking outside of that Saturday where everything got, well, not even blurry.
Fireman Dave got us our shot of grain alcohol.
Fireman Dave from New Jersey, who guaranteed us he'd see us again, and that he sat in the front row. Well, Fireman Dave
neither
lied.
Which...
He's not in the front row of anything. So.
Well, I don't really care, because he still got me a free shot. And even if that shot really actually, it was definitely 190.
That was awful.
That was pretty rough.
Did I send you the pictures from the chicken place we stopped at that night?
No.
Yeah, I don't remember what the name of it was, but yeah. Do you remember
I just remember my picture of me pretending like I had a wedding or was putting on a wedding ring, and there's the chick with the wedding dress. I'm like,
yeah,
that was just such a random thing to have a woman in a wedding dress
in
there.
She was there with her mom, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, it didn't look like, because we had seen, I at least saw a couple of bachelorette parties. And a couple of them had dresses on and stuff like that, but I don't ever remember, like, a wedding dress even on the bride-to-be. And this woman is just randomly there with her mom. you know, it didn't seem like she was in on one of those. So it's just like, this is really strange.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to find it. I got another one of just her. And then the one where a picture of us or me with. There it is. Oh, I've got a picture of our shithead neighbor. So basically what happened was we went out on Bourbon Street on Saturday for our drink on. Why? Because we got Elise and I got in so late on Friday. And we ended up on Bourbon Street, and Elise and I saw a very, what looked to be an allegedly intoxicated RVD at this place called Spirits on Bourbon. And the only reason I went to this place is I saw it on Bar Rescue, and I wanted to get their resurrection drink. Well, while in there, Rob Van Dam comes in with his handler, and of course, all the fanboys rush. Oh, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. A guy comes out of the place and goes, hey, RVD's in there. Because Bourbon Street for New Orleans, for WrestleMania, was just nonstop wrestling chants.
Oh,
an ECW one broke out one day. Like you fucked
you heard up. All of them. Yeah, it literally was all of them. Like, even in that dance club that those dummies had us meet them in so that we could not talk to them the whole time when we first met them.
Yes.
They were trying to get, like, the MCs were trying to get wrestling chants going. I mean, that's how prevalent it was, is, like, even the people inside of the bars were playing to the wrestling fans just to get them to chant.
They started playing Triple H's music. But, yeah, I don't know. When you're sober, or, like, when you haven't had a few drinks in yet, it's kind of like, oh, God, you nerds. And then you kind of start to realize, well, that's why you're in town in the first place. So just go with it after a while. And the guy comes running out. And he's like, RVD's in here. I'm like, really? Cool, let's go in here. And there he is. He's up front. And someone's playing, like, Sweet Home Alabama. No, they start playing Ain't Talking About Love by Van Halen. And he's up there having a good old time. And then the fanboys just rush him. And you see, like, he gave him, like, 5 minutes. And then he gave his handler the old cutthroat symbol, like, no, time to get out of here. And they just rushed him out. It was really funny. So that's why I expected him to be in that Battle Royal Sunday. But,
yeah.
I guess not. But, yeah, the Bourbon Street atmosphere was pretty fun after a while. But I think the one thing we need to point out is the weird vomit smell that would just...
Oh.
This was citywide? Would just pop up out of the blue?
Yeah. There was a little vomity smell, especially on Bourbon Street. Bourbon Street was definitely the worst in that department.
Bourbon Street was, as much as I'm saying it was fun, it was still the worst period. I mean, they got the cops on horses, and the horses shit in the street. They don't even pick it up. It's like, get a bag behind that thing. It's 2014.
It would have been a lot more fun if we were younger than we are, but we aren't. So
that was pretty evident Sunday morning. we had one soldier down for half the day Sunday. Basically forced herself to get up to go to WrestleMania. So, yeah.
Yep.
That shot did it in. And it was just funny how you were saying... you were talking about, like, not remembering stuff. Like, as soon as we got to the hotel room, that was it. And I started realizing, like, it was a little bit before that for me. But locking our neighbor out of his room, that was kind of a fun one, too.
Well, but you pointed out, we didn't actually lock him out. His own dumb ass locked himself out.
Yeah.
We get home after having... what was it? After drinking at dinner and then drinking at the club, we started doing drinks, and we had the hand grenade and then a resurrection, at least.
Then another and resurrection.
Did we finish two? But whatever it was, the shot was in there in the meantime. And, we got back to the hotel room, and our neighbor's door is open. We're like, hey... Door's open.
Yeah, and he's sitting Anyone on the bed here? Like the guy in the pig mask from The Shining. Just kind of like turns and looks at us. I'm like, hey, just gonna shut your door, man. It's just open. So I shut the door, you know, to help him out. And all of a sudden the door opens and he just stares at us. And we're like, hey, just shutting your door, that's all. He doesn't say anything. He just walks out of his door, closes it behind him, and then doesn't have a key. And it's, what, 2, 3 in the morning by this time?
No, it's like 3:30 in the morning.
Okay. So, and oh, the other important thing about New Orleans, for those who don't know, you can walk around with open container. So...
Yeah, no, that came in useful because I still ended up having to sacrifice 2 beers.
Yeah.
If I would have remembered the whole carrying thing more often than I did, I would have had those 2 beers finished.
Yeah, if we would have remembered, we could have walked all the way to WrestleMania with them. That wouldn't have mattered. But yeah, so this guy just all of a sudden...
He closed his own door and we're like, night, dude.
And no, not before I took a few pictures of him and decided to put him on Instagram. And we didn't see them the rest of the time. So, God bless them.
Yeah, no, and I'm pretty sure they were wrestling fans, too, because pretty much the majority of that hotel was wrestling fans, much like everything else.
Yeah, so this is a part of the show. Let me make a little quick edit. I'm having some technical difficulties on my end, so. But basically, I know we kind of all over with New Orleans, the WrestleMania, but to me, that was the best WrestleMania trip we've had. Because any trip we don't have to drive, I'm always happy.
Oh, and I would not have wanted to drive in New Orleans whatsoever. That place looked like it was horrific to drive in.
I think I've actually carried some of that back with me. I've been quick on the horn. I mean, just ridiculously fast now. And for those who weren't there, driving in New Orleans does... I don't know how more... There aren't more accidents. First, there's open container everywhere. So, one, you can just stumble into traffic because the lights don't make sense. The stop-and-go stuff doesn't make sense.
You could literally have... You could have... The ghost or a green light, a man walking, and a hand telling you to stop all at the same time.
Yeah.
Or it could be a red light with a white guy walking, or a green light with a stop hand. Like, the signs or the lights just made no sense whatsoever.
No. And if you didn't move quickly enough, they had... No problem, and this is taxis, drivers who I figure are residents, had no problem honking at you to make sure you knew that, hey, a millisecond has gone by, that light's been green. You better get a move on. But yeah, I like the open container thing. I like the fact we could walk to the Superdome and to the Smoothie King Center or Arena.
Right.
But, you know, so there's New Orleans, but then... Like, WrestleMania itself, I thought was really well done.
It was my favorite WrestleMania that we've attended that I can honestly think of. Like, I don't remember that much about Detroit's. Atlanta was only memorable because The Miz was in the main event, which is... That was the other funny thing about running into him. I'm like, oh my lord. The last WrestleMania we went to, he was important.
Yeah.
He is just nowhere near important now.
No. He's literally an afterthought. He's not even in that Intercontinental Championship tournament, if I remember right.
You are correct. Yeah, because they wrestled all the matches and he was not in one of them.
Yeah, that's true.
He wasn't even a loser.
Mm. So who the hell knows what's going on with that? But, yeah, definitely my favorite WrestleMania, even though there were less matches on this one.
We still got our 8 if you count the pre-show match, which, honestly, I'm going to because it was one of my... It, it was probably my second favorite of the night. So.
A second favorite match?
Match. Like, quality-wise.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to figure out what you're
like, not outcome-wise or anything. Yeah. Like, you know, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
It's a duh on the whole Brock Lesnar thing as far as, like, reaction. But, and I knew that, and we both had kind of said that Brian's going to win the title. So, I mean, it wasn't like that. Cesaro winning and winning the Battle Royal, I guess, was kind of a big thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they split him and Jack Swagger up to start. So,
yeah. Well, oh, yeah, and that did all start with that pre-show moment, too.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, besides the atmosphere, which I wrote about the Brock Lesnar, you know, Undertaker match, it also gave you a feeling like, oh, wait a minute, they just pulled the rug out from everybody with the Undertaker losing. Who's to say they aren't going to do the same with Daniel Bryan? Like, oh, boy. And I think they had enough that gave you, you know, and the match, you know, Triple H comes down, Scott Armstrong shows up, but everybody hit their finisher on Daniel Bryan at one point. And hell, they even hit their finishers on each other to give false finishes. So it was, you know.
Yeah, the main event was a good match, too, yeah. I think. It wasn't great, but it was a good match.
Yeah. So, it was good, though. I mean, and it was just as I expected. The yes in person, that scene was just incredible to watch.
So, right.
Yeah.
Was... No, it was. It was a sight to behold because you're like, man, it plays really well on TV. Like, and I'm just like, I really don't need any confirmation from TV on that because. Just even when you're doing it, you can look around and see other people doing it. Like, it's not like that's so hard of a operation that you can't multitask.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was. It made me the one post today on the one message board there, the wrestling message boards, just like, you can't critically think about a wrestling match and say this is awesome if you're there cheering during the match. And I'm just like, I mean, I guess if you can't multitask.
Yeah, I mean, I can differentiate between being a fan in it.
Yeah, like I was different. Oh, like, well, like we were talking about with the John Cena thing. Like, I was just being a goofy idiot. Doing both of the cheers, like, it didn't affect me trying to figure out how good of a match that was. You know, it's that, just like I can do two things at once. I'm okay with this.
Yeah, that was one match.
But yeah, the yes movement in person was just so impressive that I mean, I'm sure it'll be cool when I eventually watch WrestleMania. But yeah. It was pretty wild in person.
Yeah, and they got all the camera angles right. Whenever the crowd started doing the yes, they'd pan out so you could see the scope of the Superdome.
Oh, okay.
Superdome, finally. yeah, just very impressive, just all over. I thought everything was really well done. I mean, there were no... The way they drug out the suspense for Undertaker, too, which seemed like minutes, only took 45 seconds. That was a little... I guess that's what they mean by time standing still. So...
Yeah, no, it did seem like it's forever.
Yeah, but... Yeah, and then we had Raw. That was another fun time. Got to see some cool stuff. You know, and really, Raw was just the icing on the cake. If we wouldn't have gone to Raw, I don't know if it would have made a huge difference on the weekend. But
yeah.
It just added to the fun. That's
Well, that's it. My lady kind of said something about that. She's because I had kind of forgotten that Raw afterwards is just such a throwaway because everyone put everything into the night before.
Yeah.
And you get these gigantic multi-man matches Or you got what we ended up... Well, we got one of those, but we got a bunch of little matches with new people and people that weren't really on the card right. The night before.
Yeah, I mean, even Batista and Orton got in, and they just did their thing and left.
Yeah, they just dropped a beatdown on the Usos and took off.
Daniel Bryan got beat up a little bit, but then he came back. But yeah, it wasn't... There was no sustained bumping or anything like that, which is fine.
Yeah.
One of my favorite reactions was Rey Mysterio when I watched Raw again, just looking around like, why am I getting booed? Like, what's with you people? So that was the surprise of the night to me, was the reaction for Wade Barrett. But...
Oh, yeah, that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Just because, well... to me, as much of a surprise as Barrett was, is that Rusev was the only guy that people didn't really go crazy for. Like, he was also, like, a new face.
Yeah.
And, like, Barrett got cheered, and, well, RVD came back. And I'm trying to think of who the other... But, oh, people were reacting to, like, the Bo Leave and the Adam skits even more... than to Rusev, just in, you know, in my opinion. So that, to me, was kind of strange. It's like,
Well, Rusev got, like, the pop when they said Rusev coming up next. Everybody started cheering. Then he comes out, and no one cheered. It's like, all right, you were just excited literally 2 minutes ago. But, whatever. You know.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a harder time getting over. Being a big guy like that and not speaking. And I think you even said something about he's a slow guy. You know, he's not quick on his feet like the other newbies are going to be and have been.
Yeah, no. Because that was the one answer that I got. Because I kind of posed that question when we were there. I was like, I don't quite get it. And the one person who actually responded to me said that, you know, he's kind of slow. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess it's kind of true. Because they're playing him as the powerhouse, but super athletic. So that's kind of like the secondary part. And he's kind of showing off his strength, too, more than his agility so far.
So when that does happen, it'll be like, oh, crap. But
yeah, no, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's obviously entirely too early to think about how his career is going to go, just from a sample size of two shows.
Well, I guess, you know, to move on from WrestleMania, since it was a week ago, but whatever, you know, we didn't give our 2 cents. Last night's Raw, speaking of, was quite the difference in crowd and in content. Like, John Cena was barely on the Raw we were on. But this week he's featured, and he went right back to his dumbass John Cena stuff. The Cena stuff that immediately loses points with him, with the crowd for him. And I was very happy to see the Wyatt family not react to anything. Just standing there like, ugh.
Yeah.
Not even like that, just staring, like, there you go, all right, whatever.
Yeah, no, he's like, there you go again with the stupid jokes.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, it's like he keeps them in spite. It's one of those criticisms that he takes as a compliment. And that's a bit of a problem. You know, it's just like, oh, everyone boos that because, you know, he obviously is fine with not getting all of the cheers. Like, he knows it's coming.
Yeah.
But it's just like, okay, there's some things that you can't change. Like, he's not going to drop the five knuckle shuffle just because we all think it's stupid.
Yeah.
So, you know, but him doing the goofy stuff, the goofy jokes, he could really cut that out and still have the same character. Like, I don't think anyone would really notice it that much.
Well, isn't jokes one thing, but having a PowerPoint presentation of some bad Photoshop another thing?
I guess. Yeah, bad Photoshops are always terrible.
Yeah, they're never funny.
There isn't one that I remember going, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And honestly, if anyone listening has one that was actually funny that they put on Raw, please let us know.
What about the DX thing with the long time ago, and they had Mr. McMahon, and it was something about liking cock or something? That was kind of funny, but it was at
yeah,
the point
I think
where
it
DX was
more...
so boring that it got lost in it.
Well, and it might have been the jokes were still fine since they were just making a bunch of cock jokes.
Yeah.
That might have made the segment a little more bearable than John Cena making the usual, white pants jokes.
Yeah. If he would have said after Labor Day or Memorial Day, whatever that old cliche was, that would have really been a total, channel turner. Cena always talks about being like, I am the standard bearer. I am the standard for where everyone has to go through in this. And then he comes out and cuts awful shit like that. It just makes you think, well, if you can't get by this guy, ugh, you don't deserve to. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It was a strange draw to me because there was no Daniel Bryan because he was off getting married.
Yep.
The people who got reactions didn't get reactions this time. Like, Wade Barrett didn't get the reaction he did last week.
No, the Raw after WrestleMania is always an outlier in the group.
Yeah.
So, because it is, like, for a lot of people, like, well, see, we're not even traveling as far as some of these people. Despite still taking 3 hours in flight path to get there. Well, that isn't even really all that long, honestly. You just want to stick around. So, I mean, it's not the usual crowd. Like, it's just such a diverse crowd. And you just don't get that, when you're hosting a regular Raw.
No.
It might happen from time to time, or maybe in New York City you might get maybe more of a mix, or L.A. or something really, really huge, but that's about it. Even Chicago, to me, is even as huge as that city is, it's the same crowd every time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, no, the Raw crowds are just kind of, after WrestleMania, are just kind of unique and can't really be taken seriously. Like, they're fun and you can enjoy them, but to take them seriously is folly.
Well, as we pointed out, there were a lot of Europeans there, too. Not as many as, some would lead you to believe, but there were a lot of Europeans. There were a lot of Europeans when we were leaving New Orleans on Tuesday as well.
Because we were kind of joking, or we had mentioned on Monday, we're like, wow, you know what? Or I think I said out loud, I don't feel like I've heard that many accents. And then Monday, I heard more accents than I had Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, oh, okay, there you go. There's, they were definitely here. Because I was wondering about the 37 countries being represented.
Yeah. Well, they were apparently, so. But
yep.
Yeah, but Raw was, just pretty, whatever. They had the nice tribute for Ultimate Warrior. That was nice. I don't want to sound insensitive in this, but aren't they, after all these years of, bashing Ultimate Warrior, sweeping them under the rug, Warrior bashing them back, doesn't all of this tribute stuff seem like overcompensation?
Oh.
I mean, I know they just... I mean, maybe it's a shock thing. Maybe, but
I
was like, holy shit.
It shows my ignorance in how much these people dislike each other, I suppose. Like, them and Bruno Sammartino, them and the Ultimate Warrior. I guess some of that drama stuff I just don't pay that much attention to. So I don't think anything of it when I'm watching that show. I'm just kind of, I was just enjoying watching the clips that I haven't watched in Lord only knows how long, like probably the first time that they aired.
Yeah. Well, did you, so you never watched that Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior or whatever?
No.
Oh, dude, it's brutal. It's 90 minutes of just throwing shit on the guy. It's bad. And I could see why he was mad, but I don't know.
Right.
Just, I mean...
Yeah, well, like I said, like I guess I'm probably unique in kind of being that way, like that I just haven't paid attention to it enough to feel the gravity of the situation.
Yeah. I don't know. It's clearly a sad situation with that. I mean, you know, the guy to harbor that resentment for so long, you know, and probably on WWE's part and Vince McMahon's part as well, and then to seemingly and publicly get past that, and then he's going to work with them, and it seems like, all right, a new page, you know, second chances, or third, fourth, whatever. And then just to go out like that, it's like, oh, brother.
Yeah, that was just, yeah, that was really strange. But, well, you know, it's the right thing to do, I guess, too. Just in general, I suppose, whether he's alive or not.
I guess this is the best, maybe it's because there wasn't a network involved before, but, like, they're showing an hour of Ultimate Warrior stuff every night this week. And it's like, okay, you know, I don't know. It almost seemed like overkill, but then again, I'm not in their position. I'm not in anything. So
yeah, and you know, they need to have content up there anyway.
Right.
If you have something like that happen, it's just like, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, they've got to keep that site going, so it's kind of a good reason to just pull a bunch of clips and throw them together.
Yep. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, really that was all that stood out for me on Raw. Evolution's back. I don't know if that's kind of a step backwards, but it also gives Batista, Hunter, and Orton the opportunity to kind of help Shield get over his faces.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, no, because I was looking forward to seeing at least what we thought was going to be the three-man match between the Shield at WrestleMania. But now that they have them going in this direction, and it seems like they're going to have Kane take on Daniel Bryan for his first title defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird.
So obviously Evolution is going to be doing their thing with the Shield, which, you know, I'm pretty excited about that. I like the guys from Evolution in the ring. Like, I mean, I'll make fun of Batista, but he does his stuff well. And actually, you know what, speaking of WrestleMania moments, that, Detroit was the moment that, I liked Batista's wrestler because he had a really good match with Taker.
Yes. The surprising one of the night, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was the big surprise that night. so, you know, he may blow up and whatnot, but the guy can work a Power Man match.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one else's business. So, yeah, those three are good, and I like all three of the guys from the Shield. Like, So what's not to like about six good wrestlers fighting each other, and we'll probably have numerous singles contests in between, and Hunter shouldn't really wrestle except for at the pay-per-views, which right. I hope is what happens.
Yep. And this, it also seems like a logical, like when it's over, you know, someone can turn on somebody and, you know, the shield won't come out of it intact, which is fine, but you know, it gives each one of those guys a new direction at least, so that's nice.
Right.
It will. So but I think I know, and I don't know if anyone's been able to figure this out. I am not feeling good. So and I think I figured out why. A promotion I gave up on a long time ago. I actually ended up catching the end of Impact Wrestling last week. And much to my surprise, Eric Young is now the Impact Wrestling heavyweight champion. And I just don't feel good. So
yeah,
I know where it comes. I'm joking saying that TNA Impact Wrestling is causing it, but this screams, hey, WWE just got some bearded small guy as their champion. Let's try and confuse the marketplace and get our bearded small guy on the belt.
Yeah, no, I honestly, when I sat down to write that column, I'm like, oh my lord, they're having Eric Young win this. Because when it came down in the 10-man battle royal or whatever the shit they were doing, Royal Rumble, Battle Royal, mix-up, jumble bullshit.
Yeah.
It was Eric Young and three heels in the ring. And I'm like, holy shit, they're going to have Eric Young win this thing. Like, it became immediately clear at that point. And I was just like, this is ridiculous. And then they had him challenged for it, and I'm like, okay, they're still going to have him lose because he's Eric Young. Like, I don't care how they build this up in this one episode. He's losing this match. And I had written a couple other paragraphs about other things that happened on that show, but then I became so incensed when Eric Young actually did win the title that I erased those paragraphs.
Oh, nice.
Because they get a pass. No matter what else terrible TNA did this past week, it gets a pass. And honestly, I also gave a pass. I had just posted a Ring of Honor is the worst post, and I absolved them of all of their sins.
Nice.
For his shitty as ROH can be, they have not pulled off this level of copycatia ever.
Yeah.
There are a lot of problems with Ring of Honor. Being a bunch of copycats is not one of them. And just not even understanding. Like, and that's what I ended up making that article is, like, they just didn't, they're like, oh, this is the same, he'll get over, this is all, they, Daniel Bryan and him have this in common, and this in common, and this in common. And it's just like, oh my god, like, you are just not even thinking this through whatsoever.
I have not watched Impact Wrestling since I put that video on, and I deleted it from my DVR.
Yeah,
so
no,
I keep up with it through your stuff, spoilers, all that sort of thing. So
yeah,
I was totally confused. I only caught the very end, and I was totally confused why Eric Young was fighting. And I saw that Samoa Joe had a concussion, so I was like, okay, well. You weren't advertising Samoa. At least they weren't advertising Samoa Joe versus Magnus, were they?
He was supposed to be part of the 10-man battle royal.
All right, so sorta. Well,
yeah, sorta.
So you don't have to do a make. You don't have to give a make good with the audience. Then just have Magnus beat him by some goofy means, and be done with it. You know.
Right.
So,
it's
not even. I wasn't even frustrated. I wasn't embarrassed for him. Nothing. I just thought, well, okay, I see what they're doing, and it's sad. It's an amazing thing to me that, you know, when I stopped watching, Magnus was champion, and they kept calling him paper champion. And I would think that they would have gotten by that, where Magnus should be beating somebody like Eric Young. And unless Eric Young is now like Steve Austin or something, and no one can beat him like John Cena. But I was confused why Eric Young would win. The one thing I did like, and if I remember this correctly, he beat Magnus with a pile driver, right?
I believe so, yes.
If you're going to pull that move back out, good. That should finish a guy off. I mean, absolutely should always be the finisher of a match. So, in that respect, I enjoyed it. I don't understand the strategy. I see now TNA signing a bunch of guys to multi-year deals. Storm, Gunner, and...
Robbie E.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no. We can definitely skip that one.
Well, what am I... I don't... What is Robbie E? And I mean, dead serious. What is he to TNA? He's a goof wrestler with that Guido gimmick thing still. How old is that?
It's kind of dated.
Yeah.
Like, Eric Young was a goofy wrestler who... updated his gimmick somewhat to continue to be the goofy guy.
Yeah.
And Robbie E hasn't updated anything aside from adding Zema Ion, which is cool, but it also is still kind of a dated gimmick.
Yeah.
That they ripped off from a television show.
Right. And it really came out after Zack Ryder as well, when he was doing yeah. it. So,
right.
You know, it was funny because I saw right before we started this, Jim Ross was talking about how WWE is not interested in any of Impact Wrestling's talent. That killed me. Because I was like, oh, come on, man. I mean, Magnus is young, but he just signed a 2-year, 3-year deal last year. Like, all these guys are just wasting away in Impact. And...
oh. Well, they're not even wasting away, because, I mean, I'm not surprised that Ross says that, because, I mean, Storm has been, I know that he's had some injury issues, but he's kind of been terrible since he's been back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's one less guy that I like on there. I mean, I like Rude. Bully Ray is just not working as a... isn't as good as a face.
No. You knew that was going to happen anyways. That's no surprise.
And there was no reason to turn him face anyway or get him involved in that whole angle. Just leave a heel who's a loner. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
It would have been perfect. But at this point, I don't know if you can unring that bell. And I'm trying to think of what the... I mean, it's just, you know, I understand why they don't want anyone there. Like, there's no one to want there. James Storm was one of the few people I would have lobbied for. Bully Ray, I guess you could still bring him back if you wanted to use him as a singles wrestler, but with as young as the WWE's roster is at this point, why would they bring in Bully Ray, honestly? Like, his name isn't that big that working with these... younger guys is going to bump them up.
Yeah. No, Magnus was the only guy, and I think Dusty even posted when it happened that he just ended his career by re-signing with Impact Wrestling. He should have gone to WWE, ate shit for a year, got put up on the main roster, and he'd be somewhere. But you're right. There is nobody there now. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, and honestly, like, this is another sad revelation that's just hitting me. There might be more guys in ROH right now that I would take in the WWE than in TNA.
Yeah, they even had a tryout as well.
Yeah, and some of the guys had tryouts. Like, I'm not saying the talent is outstanding in ROH, but it's better than TNA at the current moment. At least in the ring. Because and that's the that's the other funny thing is that the American Wolves left for I don't know why they left.
The American Wolves had, I'm sure they're getting a better payday in TNA, to be honest. It all comes down to money. That's why.
Well, then, yeah, if they're getting a better payday, good for them, and that's the only reason they're there. That, and they couldn't hack it in the WWE, I'm going to assume.
Yeah. No, they're way too small.
I mean, I thought they could be in there. Well, I mean, they're in TNA as a tag team. It's not like they're singles wrestlers in TNA. So, I mean, I don't think that WWE was going to bring them in as singles wrestlers. So, I mean, they would have been another tag team to fit in, and they would have worked against the Usos and the Real Americans and Ryback-Axel. You know, it would have been another team in the division if they wanted to go that way.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the WWE doesn't want them either. Like, I mean, I think that's kind of obvious because they were another one that they got tryouts or supposedly they were down. No, that wasn't even supposed. They were actually there.
Yeah.
At the training NXT, facility. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, they got a fresh look at them. They said, nah, have fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I understand TNA bringing new talent in and signing that guy. Because, you know, Jeff Jarrett's got his promotion now, Global Force Wrestling, which we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, another time, yeah, definitely.
But so he's going to try and sign some people. So you got to lock these guys up. But not that he's clamoring for big-ass stars, though, you know?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't paid attention to his announcements either because they keep on getting delayed, so he can just... You're not building up anything, dude. You're just pissing me off.
Yeah.
By doing this. Just make your announcements and get on with it.
Yeah. And what idiocy to announce a new promotion or anything like that during WrestleMania weekend. I understand.
Yeah, in theory, it works. It's a big traffic weekend on the internets, and your news will get seen. But everyone's going to forget about it unless you keep on popping up with something new about it, like that whole weekend.
And everyone's going to forget about it when the Undertaker's streak gets broken. you had to know when that happened. He just went, shit. Because that made everything. Sports Illustrated, newspapers, everything. So, yeah, just poor timing, but we'll get into it later. But I think this is a good place to wrap up because I'm going to throw up again. So,
outstanding.
You can follow us on all the social media. We're Stunk Granny. Email stunkgranny@gmail.com. On the Twitter and everything else, I'm Granny Mays. Kevin's DeFrango11. Eric runs the Stunk Granny. Dusty is Stunt Dusty. Shahid has one which he used the other day, and I forget. So
yeah, he used it to post a selfie, so fuck him.
Oh, God. Yeah, his gym selfies. Jesus. Although today he did have some girl with a thick ass in the background, so that was nice. Leave comments, all that stuff. Subscribe to our podcast. We're Stunt Granny. You can find us with a space or no space in between Stunt and Granny. I'm going to go. Thanks for getting through this. I'm talking to myself, apparently. And we'll get into you next time.
Okie dokie. Well, unlike Jeremy, I am not feeling rough. I am in perfectly fine shape, so I am going to go grab a sippy time beer, and you grandkids have a good night.